creation.
Entrepreneurship.
The next idea.
We have to make room for this ability to learn to be creative.
There's so much emphasis on STEM classes, science, technology, engineering, and math. Add to that the fact that students are taking more and more tests online. And that poses a challenge for students who are blind, who might not be able to access materials related to all those questions. That's just one of the things motivating a team at the University of Michigan who are now working on a Braille version of tablet computers, iPads for the blind, if you will. With me now are Sheila O'Moran. She's a professor in performing arts technology at the School of Music, Theater, and Dance and the School of Information at the University of Michigan. Sheila, so good to have you on the program.
Lovely to be here.
And Alex Rusimano is here. He's a PhD candidate in the Department of Mechanical Engineering at U of M. Alex, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
This is an interesting right brain, left brain collaboration we have here. We have performing arts and we have mechanical engineering coming together to solve a problem. Sheila, describe this problem you're tackling.
For fun, we call this the search for the Holy Braille. I'm visually impaired myself, and I work in performing arts technology, which is really music technology. So I've done a lot of work in the sciences on my route to this point. I also used to work as a sound engineer for radio. And as part of my job, I used to have to edit audio. At the time I was working, I could edit using a razor blade and tape, but then gradually all of this work went on to computers and I was having to work with visual representations of audio waveforms, which I couldn't access directly. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons that motivated me to start looking for alternative ways to display non-text information for blind people. This project is sort of a culmination of a number of things that brought us to this point. There are many codes in Braille which don't lend themselves very well to being displayed on current refreshable Braille devices. Typically, current devices have just one line, and often it only has 20 or 30 characters. So if you want to do something like math, where you need things to be above each other, or music, where you also need spatial codes, or even tactile diagrams, a single line of Braille really doesn't work. And so for all of these reasons, we were motivated to come up with the equivalent of a full page of tactile, refreshable Braille or tactile graphics, basically.
Alex, what do you see as you're working on this? What is the actual goal? What do you want to put into people's hands?
Along the lines of what Sheila was saying is, you know, we want this final device to be able to do a full page of text would be amazing. So that's one thing. So you can read more fluidly and you don't just have a single line, which is what's currently out there. But in addition to that, have something that you could do tactile graphics or essentially graphics that you can feel, touch, and interact with. So a final device would be something you could hold in your hands that would have that capability.
And I understand the idea of affordability is important.
Yes, that's very important.
Mm-hmm. How affordable do you hope to make this?
We're hoping to make it in the $1,000 to $2,000 range because current devices that are out there that are just a single line can be upwards of $5,000.
Okay, that's pretty mind-blowing. Sheila, how would this affordable tablet, this Braille tablet, how would that change everyday lives of people who are visually impaired?
I think it would have most impact probably in education and in technical fields. Currently, there are a lot of speech-based solutions that are totally free. So if you have an iPhone, it automatically comes with software that will speak the contents of the screen and you can read documents and things like that. And most laptops now do the same. So for quick reading of things, which is just like newspapers or whatever, I suspect a lot of people will still use speech. But for anything where you really need to delve into something to be able to read in a more interactive way so that you can sort of go to and fro in a text or spend some time looking at equations and things like that. I think, you know, having something on the page in front of you is really going to make a difference. And there's quite a lot of work out there suggesting that even for people who read visually, having something read to you is not nearly as effective as reading it yourself. And there's no reason to suspect that wouldn't be the same for blind people.
Alex, I want to talk engineering. What are the limitations of the current technology? As you talk about this one line and the incredible cost, what are you overcoming in terms of the current limitations?
Sure. The Braille displays, which are currently out there, the reason why they're one line is because the technology that kind of makes the dots move up and down on these displays is very expensive. It's been around for decades, and the way the technology works, it's piezoelectric. It's a fancy word. But all it is it's a certain kind of material that when you energize it, it deflects or moves in a certain way. And so that deflection causes a pin to move up and down, which you can feel. The problem is it takes a lot of material to make that happen. There's a fair amount of bulk needed to create just a very small amount of movement of one of these braille pins up and down.
So it's really inefficient.
Essentially, what you get is a device that's very large that's only moving a very small amount of pins up and down. The other part of that is in order to create these devices, it requires a fair amount of assembly. The more braille cells you add to a device, the more expensive it is, and it kind of scales linearly from there. So if you want to create even if you could create a full-page device, it would be very expensive. And some people have actually tried to do this before, and you end up getting a full-page display that costs something like $50,000.
So what have you come up with? What kind of new technology are you bringing to solve this problem?
We are using pneumatics or air pressure to create bubbles on a surface, more or less. What we're doing is we have a cavity or chamber beneath a very thin elastic membrane. And when you pressurize that cavity, the thin membrane deflects upwards and creates a bubble on the surface. You could either touch directly or you could have it drive a pin, which is in these braille display devices. And that's kind of the underlying technology and what we're using. And what that enables you to do is pack in many, many, many bubbles into a very small area. You know, whereas before these piezoelectrics, it takes a lot of material to create just a small deflection, we can actually get thousands of dots into a very small space because you can create a channel that sends air to one of these bubbles and the power source can be separated from the point where you're actually creating the bubble. You can get many, many thousands of features into a very small area. That's the basis of our technology, is being able to use air to push up and down bubbles.
Sheila, does it feel like you're really breaking this ground? And do you let yourself think ahead? One day this is going to be commonplace and so many obstacles will be taken away.
I try not to get too excited because I know that there are several technical hurdles that have still to be overcome. And then, of course, we need to find somebody who can manufacture this for us. And because it's so new, it's not going to be easy for the people who currently make braille displays to make these kind of displays because the technology is so different. There are several hurdles, but eventually I think either we'll make it or somebody else will make it. There are a couple of different candidate test technologies out there at the moment and a real push to solve the problem. So I think probably in the next 5, certainly 10 years, this technology will be available. And it's been interesting talking to stakeholders, like people who publish braille material and particularly people who publish technical material. And they're really excited to have something where they can deliver content to people online instead of having to still publish text, bulky braille text, and mail them to people and things like that.
Alex, I got to imagine this is why you are drawn to mechanical engineering. Let's solve a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome to be able to work on something where you kind of get your hands dirty a little bit. So I actually do a lot of my work in a clean room environment, which is kind of funny. You dress up in a full bunny suit, make sure there's no skin or hair exposed, because what we're working on is making very, very small devices and you don't want to contaminate them at all. But in that way, it's fun as a mechanical engineer to get involved in these projects where you can actually see something and build something and have an end product that you can interact with and has a good final purpose.
What is your working deadline in your mind? When do you hope to be able to kind of see this through to completion and then on to production?
Within the next year, we're hoping to have somewhat of a prototype that we can show off the technology. I mean, it's not going to be a full page display, but it's going to show that we can create features on a surface and we can control them using our technology. So that's what we're hoping. And then, you know, in that time frame, we're hoping to even think about kind of the next step. And that might mean creating a company, making sure, you know, we have the pieces in place to hopefully down the road scale this up into a bigger project.
And again, back to what you had said, keeping it affordable so people will be able and schools will be able to access these.
Absolutely.
Very, very, very exciting work. We've been talking with Sheila Amorin, who's a professor in performing arts technology at the University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance and the School of Information. And with Alex Russomano, who's a PhD candidate in the Department of Mechanical Engineering at U of M and the search for what's being called iPads for the blind, but that idea of a braille version of tablet computers. Exciting work. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.